Please turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, I want to begin in a moment by reading a text that should be very familiar to all of us. Let me begin by saying that I miss singing with my brethren. But you know what? I'm still singing, and I hope you are too. Even though we're not able to meet with all of our brethren right now, we should still be engaged in singing to our God and to each other. There's no doubt about it. God's people are still singing. Singing is a command of God. The Lord clearly commands that His people are to sing. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, the Holy Spirit, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, says that we are to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Similarly, over in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Colossae, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, saying, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." These are the instructions given by the Apostle Paul to the churches in the New Testament in the first century. But as we follow God's will and word for our lives in the New Testament, we engage in this activity. God's people today are singing. And so we consider the examples that God gives us of His people singing in the first century. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 30, it says of Jesus and His disciples when they left the last Passover supper, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The Lord engaged in song with His people to God. Over in Acts chapter 16 and verse 25, in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, the Holy Spirit records to us by the hand of Luke, saying that at midnight, Paul and Silas, they were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And of course, that requires just a little bit of context for those who aren't familiar with this particular text. In Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul and his companion Silas, they were imprisoned for preaching the gospel. And when they found themselves in that prison in Philippi, they engaged in prayer and songs to God. God's people sing. And the Lord, He regulates our singing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the last portion of verse 15, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15, the Lord regulates that our singing requires our heart's involvement. The Lord doesn't want us to simply just go through the actions of worship. He wants our hearts to be fully engaged, and I believe that's what He's speaking about when He says we are to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15, He said, "I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding." Paul's heart was engaged with a thinking mind as he sings songs, psalms, and hymns. And so we think about this. Singing is a command of God, and God's people are still singing. And so we turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, we want to think about this, that singing is an activity that God expects all of us to participate in. The verses of Scripture we've just read all speak to us as Christians who respond to God with our voices and with the Spirit that's within us. Now that Spirit is our Spirit, that Spirit which is created in the image of God and which offers to God our praise in song. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, the Holy Spirit writes these words through the pen of the prophet. "Therefore, by Him, that is, by Christ, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." The Hebrews writer here certainly addresses more than just our singing when he refers to the fruit of our lips. But there's no doubt that our singing is certainly included in that. Basically speaking, our singing is a personal sacrifice made in each of our hearts and offered to our God. Now, we can engage in song to our God individually or as a congregation of God's people. And so we think back to what was said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 and 19, in which we are told to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And so there is this engagement not only with our God, but with each other. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. So while our singing is in fact a personal sacrifice offered to the Lord, our singing is done for the benefit of all those around us. In fact, if we were to take the time to go back to the Philippian letter, we would see that the prisoners even, who were listening to the songs and the prayers of Paul and of Silas, they were benefited by that. Their lives were affected. So then let me ask you this question. Why do some refuse to follow the Lord's command to sing? Would we dare refuse to partake of the Lord's Supper? Will we dare refuse to pray to our God or to give generously to the work of His church? If not, then why would we feel that it's okay to not engage in song when the Lord clearly wants the fruit of our lips offered to Him in song? You see, singing is a command of God given to each of us, and we all need to be engaged in singing to the very best of our ability. In fact, let's talk about that a little more as we turn to Malachi chapter 1. In Malachi chapter 1, we want to consider that anything we do for the Lord needs to be done carefully and thoughtfully. You're turning to Malachi chapter 1, but just consider the larger text of Scripture from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. We find that God's people who please Him are the ones who offer Him the very best of what they have in this life, even if it is so very little. But when someone, whether they have little or a lot, offers God anything less than their best, well, there is not an acceptance, there is not blessing, and they are not honored by God. In fact, they are warned, condemned, and sometimes punished immediately. So let's look at the text in Malachi chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. Here, the prophet Malachi is writing on behalf of God. And he says in verse 6, beginning, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests, who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? When you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor? Says the Lord of hosts. And now entreat the favor of God, that he may be gracious to us. With such a gift from your hand, will he show favor to any of you? Says the Lord of hosts. Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle a fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not accept an offering from your hand. For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will be offered to my name, and a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it when you say that the Lord's table is polluted, and its fruit, that is, its food, may be despised. But you say, what a weariness this is, and you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring what has been taken by violence, or is lame, or sick, and this you bring as your offering. Shall I accept that from your hand, says the Lord? Cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock and vows it, and yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations. Now, when we read that text, we cannot help but see that the Lord condemns worship by His own people that's not up to the standard of His word and their best. the principle for their giving and the principle for our giving is that the Lord God is a great king, that he is the Lord of hosts, that his name shall be feared. Why would the Lord expect anything less from his people today? And the answer to that is he doesn't. Our obedience to the commands of God, and that includes our singing, is one of the sacrifices that demonstrate our love and our allegiance to God. Turn over to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Rome, and he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. He says that we are to offer a living sacrifice, that sacrifice is to be holy and acceptable to God, and that is reasonable. Our service offered to God is to be living and not dead. Our living sacrifice, by its very nature, will and must cost us. Sacrifice is not free. Sacrifice is not easy. And sacrifice certainly does not involve the leftovers. Sacrifice costs us something. It requires something of us. And it is and should be the best of what we have, of who we are. Because, as we said and read a moment ago, the Lord our God is the great King. His name shall be feared. You think about the words of Jesus in Matthew 22. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus says, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Does that sound like something that's half-hearted? Or that's just so-so? Or that's good enough? No, love for God requires making every effort to give our best to Him. Or you look over in John chapter 14 and verse 21. John chapter 14, verse 21, the Lord Jesus Christ said, Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Sometimes we wonder, do I love the Lord? Do I love him enough? Am I showing my love? Well, keep his commandments. That is a demonstration of our love. And so if we don't keep his commandments, if we won't listen to his word, if we won't meet the standards set by him for our lives, then we are not loving our God the way we should. Now, this requires not only that we examine ourselves, but also that we, after examining ourselves, make changes necessary to meet the standard of God's word. Offering ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. It makes absolutely no sense for us to call the Lord our Lord as if we listen to him and learn from him and live with and for him, if we're going to ignore his commandments. In fact, he said it just as simply as this, Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Now, it may seem like we've taken a divergence from our topic of singing, but you know, there are some who call themselves Christians, and maybe even some of us who are listening today, who are not engaging in our sacrifice of song to God. We may think that that belongs in the assembling of the saints and only in the assembling of the saints, that that's for when we have a song leader at the front of the building who gives us direction and who chooses the songs for us, when in reality our responsibility as children of God, is to worship him in spirit and in truth, and that involves our song service as individuals and as a congregation of his people. And the Lord has warned us, and he's given us examples of how displeased he is when his people, at any time offer to Him anything less than or other than our best. And I'll say to refrain from offering is just as sinful as offering something less than our best. Let's turn from all of that to speak specifically about the purpose for our singing by asking that question, what is the purpose of our singing? We know that the Lord has commanded that we sing, and we know and have already touched upon some of the reasons, but let's be clear, our singing is not intended to fill time or to keep us busy. Our singing is not to entertain ourselves or to entertain anyone else. And our singing is not to be done to show off or try to impress someone with our abilities. No, our singing has specific divine purpose, and it's revealed to us in the Word of God. Now, we've already referred to Ephesians chapter 5 and Colossians chapter 3, so I'm going to ask you to turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And consider that our singing is to be offered as praise to God. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5 and Colossians chapter 3, we've already seen that the command for us to sing and our singing is to be from our hearts with our voices to the Lord. But I've asked you to turn to Hebrews chapter 2 as we look at verse 11 and verse 12, in which the Hebrews writer has penned these words, "For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will sing praise to you." We who belong to God in Christ are sanctified by the blood of Christ. Now, it's not only appropriate, but it's natural that we who are sanctified, set apart from sin and from the world for God, and as brethren of Christ, that we join our voices and that we sing praises to our Father who has sanctified us and who has made us alive in Him. And so, we join with him and say, "I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praises to you." Or you look at these words in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Again, referring to those words of the Hebrews writer, "Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." Now let's turn over to Romans chapter 15. From the book of Hebrews, let's go to Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15, the Apostle Paul speaks of our unity, not only in voice, but also in our offerings to God. As we read this passage, I want you to notice that our unity is rooted in who God is and what He has done for us. Romans chapter 15, beginning in verse 5, "Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Did you see that? Our unity is firmly rooted in who God is and what He has done for us. And so, we with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our singing is intended to offer praise to our God in heaven. And according to God's divine plan, our singing is to provide for one another. Now, we've already read the passages in Ephesians and Colossians, both of which teach that we have a personal responsibility to God, but also to each other, to teach and admonish one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, there are some tremendous lessons in the songs that we sing. Think of those songs, and I'll name just a few, that teach us so very much about God, about His Word, about our life here, and about the life that is yet to be. "Yield not to temptation." "What a friend we have in Jesus." "Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother?" This world is not my home. God give us Christian homes. Did you think to pray? Holy, holy, holy. Now these are just a few of the titles of the many songs that we sing, both as families and as a congregation of God's people. I understand that currently, because of the pandemic, we may not be able to gather together physically as a congregation. But brethren, we're still able and I believe responsible for our singing to God, and when we're with others, to one another. Now I sorely miss singing with my brethren in the assembly of the saints. My encouragement to you and to all is to continue honoring God and doing your best to worship Him in spirit and in truth. For those of you who are isolated, perhaps worshiping alone, keep in mind that you're never alone when you're with the Lord. And when you're engaged in scriptural worship, you're brought into the very presence of the Lord. Men, let me speak to you for a moment. Based upon what we read in the Bible, you and me, we are responsible for leading the congregation within our homes. I'm talking about your family. Maybe it's just you and your wife. Maybe it's you and your children or your grandchildren. But we are responsible for leading the congregation within our homes in the worship of God. Now, regarding our worship of God in song, you might not consider yourself to be a song leader, but you know we do the best we can. This may not be an ideal circumstance, but very much like Daniel in Babylon, or Paul in a Roman prison, or John on the Isle of Patmos, or countless others, we can and we must continue to worship God right where we are, in spirit and in truth, offering to God the very best of what we have. And be assured that while we might not have much physically, we have so very much in Christ Jesus. And we have so very much in even our meager abilities. Now I'd like for you to turn to Revelation chapter 5. I want you to consider that worshiping God in song here and now, even in the confines of your own home, or on a daily basis as an individual, or at times as a congregation with God's people, worshiping God in song here and now in this life prepares us to sing with the heavenly host one day. Consider what's recorded for us in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. Now, I don't understand or know of anything in heaven except for that which is revealed in the Word of God. And I don't want to speculate about what will be in heaven. But I know for sure that those who are found to be righteous upon this earth, having honored God with their life, with their worship, and with their service, here and now, will be in the presence of God forevermore, and will sing to God of His worthiness, of the things that He has done, and of who He is. Here is just a glimpse given to us of a heavenly vision recorded by John in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation." In the book of Revelation, there are times in which John was given a vision of a new song. And again, there's a lot we don't know about that song. But I look forward to being able to sing with God's people, not only here in this life, but in the life which is to come. And in order to do that, I need to offer to God the very best of what I have in this life, all of it. And that involves my singing. For you, that involves your singing, because singing is a command of God for His people. Singing is an activity that God expects all of us to participate in, and our singing needs to be done to the very best of our ability, because our singing is offering praise to God and providing for one another. While we might not be gathered together just yet as a congregation of God's people are still singing today. Now, I hope that this lesson has been both instructive and an encouragement to you. Now that we've come to the end of the lesson, I'd like to extend an offer to you regarding our Wednesday evening Bible study. Wednesday evening at 7:30, we're going to be having a study of the parables of Jesus. Everyone's invited to participate in this online class using the Zoom application. You can use your smartphone, a tablet, or a laptop computer to log into the meeting. Once you're there, you'll be able to see and to hear all who are participating in the class and to discuss the Word of God with us. The details for this particular meeting will be provided in an email and a text message that's sent out to all the members of the website and of the church. If you don't have a way of using the Zoom application, you can still join us. Just call the phone number that's at the bottom of the invitation, and in this way, you'll be able to hear the Bible discussion that's being conducted by the members of the class. For all others, the Bible class that was conducted last week has been recorded, and we're going to make that available to you for listening purposes on the congregation's website on the Bible class webpage. If you need help in connecting with either of these things, either the pre-recorded class or the online class, then please let me know so that I can help you get connected as soon as possible. I sure hope you'll be able to join us in the upcoming class. And please, stay safe, and don't forget, keep reading your Bible.